Now that you know a little more about Bach's life, let's talk about his compositional techniques, his use of the fugue form, and ways we can play Bach's music stylistically correct. That's a $50 word, stylistically correct. That means we'll learn ways to play Bach's music so it will sound somewhat like it would have sounded if we lived in the Baroque period. During the Baroque period, people were very curious. They wanted to learn all they could about the world around them. One of the great beliefs these people had was that learning was a precious gift from God. If someone were given that gift, he should use it to glorify God and to help those around him. According to these people, music was an important gift of knowledge, and if that gift was to be used to praise God, the more complex and ornate the music was, the better it would glorify God, for complexity was an indication of great knowledge to them. For this reason, Bach strove to make his music as complex and difficult as he could. Sometimes, when we listen to Bach's music today, we have a hard time understanding it. When we don't understand something, it can become boring or ugly to us. But we must remember to listen to it with Baroque ears. We must remember that Bach started his musical training very young and continued studying throughout his entire life. His compositions are certainly classical music from the Baroque period. Remember that classical music is music written by the educated for the educated. Bach was very educated, wasn't he? We are on the other side of the scale. This means that the more we learn about Bach and his music, the better we will be able to understand and appreciate and find joy in his music. And it is worth the effort to be able to find it. I remember as a small boy, I didn't like opera. I didn't like Bach. And there were several other kinds of musical styles that I didn't like either. But I looked around me to those who I respected and I thought, wow, a lot of people really find a lot of enjoyment through these musical forms. And so I thought, I'm going to see if I can find the way to enjoy this music. And so I studied opera a lot. I studied Bach a lot. And I'm very glad I did, because I have learned so much, and I have found so much joy, and I've been almost literally lifted to heaven through music and of these great masters in opera and in from Bach and other composers that at first I had a hard time understanding, and it was just because I hadn't stretched my mind and stretched my soul large enough to be able to receive them. And I challenge you, if you're having trouble understanding any musical style, to stretch your mind and stretch your soul so it's large enough to be able to receive it. Particularly if it's a musical style that those around you whom you respect and admire find some sort of satisfaction and upliftment from it. Let's talk about the sequence first. A sequence is the repetition of a melody that moves up or down. I will play a sequence that is found in Bach's Prelude in G Major from Book 2 of the Well-Tempered Clavier. I'm going to give you an opportunity to be a good active listener now as the Prelude in G Major is played. See if you can hear the first sequence that you just heard, and count how many other sequences there are. Okay, how many times did you hear Bach use sequence in that example? If you heard all five sequences, you're a pretty good active listener. If you didn't, go back and listen again and see if you can discover each one. The second compositional device we will discuss is a lot like sequence. It is called imitation. Imitation is repetition of the melody like the sequence, but it is different because instead of moving up or down as it imitates, it moves from hand to hand or voice to voice and is usually found in the same key. Let's listen to Invention in C major. This piece has both imitation and sequence. See if you can hear the difference. Count how many times there is imitation and how many times sequences are used. Count the imitations on your right hand and the sequences on the fingers of your left hand. There were five sequences used and 10 times that imitation was used. If you did not hear all of them, you may want to rewind the tape and listen again. It may take several times to hear all of the sequences and imitation Bach wrote because it can be hidden very well. You may want to use sequence and imitation in your own compositions. Imitation and sequence were not only used just in the Baroque, they've been used by many other important composers as well. When you perform a piece by Bach, you may want to remember that the audience only hears the piece once, so they will probably not hear a lot of the neat things Bach did unless you, the performer, help them a little. You could lightly accent the first note of each time the sequence moves up or down. You could bring out imitation by playing that voice a little louder than the other voices. Listen carefully as you play to make sure that it is not overdone. You may want to listen to a great Bach performer like Rosalind Turek to hear what she does, or Glenn Gould to hear what he did. Did you know that during the Baroque, every single note that a performer was supposed to play was not always written out? It was kind of like jazz today. Musicians then had to know how to read a special system of symbols called figured bass. In this system, the bass note and sometimes the melody were the only notes written. Below the bass note, there were numbers, sharps, and flats to tell the performer what notes he could add to the bass and the melody. It was much like doing a crossword puzzle. The first and sometimes last letter are given, and then using the clues, you fill in the rest of the word. It took a lot of hard work and discipline to learn what these symbols stood for. Some performers only recognized or completed the figured bass very simply, but the great performers could do so many exciting things. Bach was one of the greatest performers, and when he read figured bass, such marvelous music poured from the organ. The audience would sit totally enthralled as his fingers and feet flew over the notes. Occasionally, though, Bach played so ornately that the church officials felt that he was getting too carried away. Bach definitely loved improvisation. However, when Bach began to write his own pieces, he filled all the notes in for the performers. He did not let them improvise a figured bass themselves. Bach loved his music very much. He heard it in his mind and then wrote it down. He didn't want to hear it any way differently than he had heard it in his mind, for he knew his mind's image was the very best way the music could be played. That was what Bach wanted, the very best that something could be. An important part of Bach's style is ornamentation. Ornamentation is a decoration of the melody. Decoration makes a melody more complex, and that was precisely what Baroque composers wanted. Bach liked to use ornamentation in his music. He did not write out the ornaments note by note. Instead, he used special signs. Most performers of the day understood the different signs for trills, mordants, and all of the many other types of ornaments. Some signs were like S's turned sideways, or squiggly lines with other lines drawn through them, with curls and swirls and other things. Many artists today look at those signs, those squiggly lines, and they wonder, what in the world do they mean? Well, we're not the only ones. Many people in the Baroque didn't know what they meant either, and it varied from country to country. Bach was very kind for us, though, and in teaching his son, he wrote out a chart with the different signs and their meanings so that his son, William Friedman, would know how they should be played. This chart helped many students, and it helps us to know how to play Bach's ornaments today. Bach was the greatest Baroque composer and one of the best composers ever. He did not develop any new styles or forms as Beethoven and Haydn did. He just used forms that had been around for a while. One of the reasons Bach has become so great is because he did his very best. He composed pieces using these forms until he had composed something better than had ever been composed up to then. He worked hard for that. One of Bach's favorite forms was the fugue. A fugue is like a complicated round. Many of Bach's fugues are found in the Well-Tempered Clavier, Book 1 and 2. There are 48 preludes and fugues, with two of both in every major and minor key in these books. The melody of a fugue has a special name. It is called a subject. To understand how a subject works in a fugue, we need to understand a little bit more about how Bach's music works. Bach thought of each note as a part of a musical line. Let's see how this works. Imagine a chord with three notes in it. Dum, bum, bum. To Bach, each of those notes was more important than just a part of a chord. It was also part of a melody. That meant that there were three melodies going on the same time. Each melody or line is called a voice. This type of writing is called polyphony. Bach told one of his students once that these voices were like three people talking. If they all had something important to say, they could all speak at once. But if only one of the voices could say something valuable, the other two would have to stop and listen. Remember that as you play Bach, and it will help you interpret him correctly. When the voices had something important to say, they could join in again. Now, let's see how this principle applies to the subject of a fugue. Usually, one voice sings the subject all alone. The other voices are silent, listening to what is said. The second voice gets excited and starts to sing the subject as well, only this time it might be in a different key. Each voice has a turn entering with the subject, and the other voices either drop out and listen or continue with more wonderful details about the subject. If none of the voices happen to have the subject, but have a different melody instead, this is called an episode. Episodes are used to connect a new entry of the subject after all the voices have had a turn singing the subject the first, second, third, or even fourth time. Unlike the subject, not all of the episodes will sound the same. Bach was the first Baroque composer to use episodes in a fugue. Episodes made it possible for Bach to write much longer fugues that could travel through many unusual and exciting keys without breaking rules of the fugue form. Let's listen to a fugue. This is the subject. This fugue has three voices, so the subject will enter at least three times. Listen for it to come in each of the different voices. But before we listen to the different voices enter, we're going to listen to Bach's episode in this fugue. The episode is kind of the peanut butter that keeps the two slices of bread, or the subjects, together in the piece. Now listen for the subjects and the episode we have talked about as the fugue from Toccata in G major is played. Raise your right hand every time you hear the entry of the subject. Raise both hands when you don't hear the subject anymore at all, and you only hear the episode, the peanut butter, connecting the subjects together. Most of Bach's fugues have three or four voices, but some of his fugues had even more voices than that. Do you remember the story of how Bach went to visit King Frederick the Great, and King Frederick the Great asked Bach to compose something right on the spot, and Bach did? Then Bach suggested that King Frederick the Great compose a little piece that he could improvise on, and King Frederick the Great did. Then Bach went home and wrote it all out, some wonderful fugues and other music, and sent it back to King Frederick the Great based on the theme that King Frederick the Great gave him. Do you remember what that was called? That's right, it was called the Musical Offering. In that Musical Offering, Bach wrote a six-voiced fugue. Since Bach used so many different musical forms, it would be impossible to discuss them all on this tape. Several other forms are discussed on the tape of the Baroque period, which is available from Music Wonderful Music. There are some very important stylistic details we should understand in order to play Bach more effectively. First, Bach did not write any of his music for the piano. There were no pianos like ours today in his time. He wrote for the organ, harpsichord, and clavichord. These instruments all sound much different than the piano. You have probably heard an organ, but since there are not very many harpsichords or clavichords around, you may not have heard one before. A harpsichord has strings which are plucked by a quill. There are two keyboards, one for loud sections, the other for soft. The only way to change the dynamic level is to change keyboards. It has a very crisp sound. The clavichord is similar to the piano in that it can change dynamic levels by the amount of pressure that is put on the key, but it is much more soft and subtle in its dynamic range. Since we do not have the many of these instruments, we play Bach on the piano, but we have to make some adjustments to make it sound more like the original instruments the music was written for. There are many contrasting ideas about what should be done, but one widely accepted practice is that medium and fast pieces should sound crisp and clean, like this. Thank you. Did you notice how even the notes were? And it was very detached, almost staccato. Of course, slow pieces can be played legato, but they should still sound very clean. If pedal is used at all, it should never be blurred together in a romantic or impressionistic style. Here is a slow movement from the toccata in G minor to give you an example of the legato style. The last important interpretive detail you should know is that Bach very rarely wrote in dynamic markings. If there are dynamics written on a piece, they were put in there by an editor. We aren't sure exactly why Bach didn't write in any dynamics, but we have some good theories. First, remember that the harpsichord could only play either soft or loud. There wasn't much need for dynamics in a piece for the harpsichord. Another theory is that, like the figured bass, musicians of the day could tell by what the music was like what type of dynamics they were to use. One reason why we need to study music history is to learn how we should play a piece. So even though there are no dynamics written in Bach's music, we should study the piece carefully so that we can make good decisions about which dynamics to use, so we can express the piece as beautifully as Bach wrote it. We're now ready for the quiz. There are 7 questions on this quiz. I will pause for about 3 seconds to give you a chance to answer. If you need more time, pause the tape, and when you're ready to go on, start the tape again. Number 1, explain what a subject and episode is. A subject is the theme of a fugue. This theme is transferred from voice to voice like a round. An episode is the music in a fugue that does not use the theme. It is the peanut butter that holds the bread or the subjects together. Question 2. What country was Bach born in? Germany. Number 3. What keyboard instruments did Bach write his music for? Clavichord, harpsichord, and organ. Number 4. Why didn't Bach want to take Buxtehude's job? If he took the job, he would have to marry Buxtehude's daughter, and Bach was in love with another girl. Number 5. Why is the music of Bach so complex and difficult? Because the people were very religious. Complexity was a way to represent and glorify the knowledge of God. Number 6. Was Bach satisfied with mediocre work, or did he work hard to achieve excellence? Bach worked hard to develop his talent, to achieve excellence. If you got them all right, you are a very good listener. If you missed any, you may need to review this tape until you can have a thorough understanding of the principles and the life that was discussed. This tape is fully protected under the copyright laws of the United States of America. Any reproduction in whole or in part is illegal. For more information concerning tapes offered by Music Wonderful Music, please write Music Wonderful Music, 289 East, 500 South, Heber City, Utah, 84032.